Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's.
This is your man, Professor X Factor, a.k.a. Angry Man. Please take out your textbooks, take a seat, and shut your damn mouth. Shut up. Hush! Now, class is in session. Shit.
Thank you all for tuning in to episode 43 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports.
Hey, oh, yeah, Gary, excuse me. Hey, in the back, sit your ass down. Sorry, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, hey, man, that's okay, man. Got to keep him in line, Professor. Got to keep him in check. Make sure the number to call into the show is 858-777-8433. Call into the show and let your voice be heard, and make sure you press 1 on your mobile device, and we will let you through. Before we get into the show.
Hey, son, if you move again, I'm going to send your little ass to the principal's office, the old Shaq Hennessy's office.
The old Shaq Hennessy's office. Who? Oh, Shaq Hennessy.
Oh, Shaq Hennessy.
Shout out to Keel and Peele, man. That is one of the funniest skits ever on Comedy Central, man. Before we get into the show, I want to give a shout out to our brother, man, Mr. Executive himself, Q Drayford, man. He's down in the Carolinas right now, you know what I'm saying? And he's doing his thing, man, you know, feeding the homeless. So I just want to give a shout out to our brother, man, Q Drayford. Oh, as a matter of fact, hold on for 1 second. I'll lock and talk right through. Hey, hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, I got my brother on the other line, NYC's finest, the man I was just talking about before he hopped on the line, my man Q Drayford.
Hot damn!
Yo, what up?
Yo!
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, family?
Feed them homeless people, goddammit, feed them!
Yeah, man, I was just
saying that. Not just the homeless, we doing the less fortunate, too, because there's plenty of people with perfectly fine jobs that ain't paying them shit, and they still can't afford to put food on the table.
Wow, you hear that, Donald Trump? I'm sorry. This ain't a political show. Sorry about that, y'all. Sorry.
You know, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? They work in single family household, single parent household. You know, double working two jobs, still ain't got enough money for a decent Thanksgiving.
Right.
So, you know, we do what we can, and we do what we can. We don't do it for the grand.
Absolutely.
Church.
Harold,
take your ass home and take care of them babies. Sorry.
But real quick, executive man, is there any organization that you would like to shout out or put out here on the show that anybody can, you know, if they decide they want to help or donate or anything of that nature? I mean, I know that you're pretty much, you know, exclusive though, but if there's anything that you would put out there, man.
I'm an advocate for No Kid Hungry as well as a volunteer chef for Feeding America. But right now we're working with CAMS Foundation. I don't know the specific website address on hand, but if you Google Cam Newton Foundation, it'll pop up on your screen, and that's what we're dealing with today.
My man, shout out to Cam Newton. Shout out, you know what I'm saying, to the Carolinas. Shout out to my man, my brother, executive chef, Q Drayford. You know what I mean? Definitely doing big things.
We're doing New York in the morning.
And New York
Q?
In the morning. Man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Q, mind your hands while you're out there.
What you mean?
Take care of your hands while you're out there.
I don't know what you're talking about. What you mean?
Don't have your hands all fucked up while you're out there.
What you mean?
You heard what I said.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Paul Heyman, Paul Heyman. I said, take care of your damn hands.
I know that's right.
And I know that's right. Y'all stupid as hell. Here at Locker Room Talk Radio, man, we'd like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News. Or what we like to call it here at Locker Room Talk Radio, damn. We just gonna go ahead.
For some fans of some NFL teams, it should just be called Damn It to Hell, Not Again.
See, you just struck a nerve. You know what I can understand? And let me say this before whatever you about to say, Coach. I still don't understand how stupid people are.
Okay.
Well,
in the National Football League, there are 32 franchises. There is one goal that all 32 franchises have before the season starts, after the season begins, and to culminate the actual season. The owners of the team, all the way down to the goddamn cheerleaders, if you have them.
Even the male ones. We don't discriminate here at Locker Room Talk Radio.
Wants the Super Bowl championship. That's the goal. There is no other goal.
Yes.
That's the goal. Yes. Okay, that one goal covers everything else. It covers profit. It covers revenue. It covers bonuses. It covers contract extensions. It saves jobs. Cheerleaders get to cheer another day. Mascot get another check. Everybody wins if you win the Super Bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not the winner of the Super Bowl, there is only one consolation prize: winning the draft in April. You stupid people calling yourselves fans of 2-9 and 3-7 and 1-11 and 0-10 teams talk about, I just need a win. No, you don't, you idiot. You are not winning the Super Bowl, so you do not need a win. You need a loss. So shout out to my New York Football Giants for doing exactly what we need. Losing. Thank you. I appreciate you. We lost to the Bears. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to lose to the Packers. Hallelujah. And we're going to lose to the Eagles. Church, Tabernacle. Thank God we lose them. 2-11, here we come. New head coach and Chase Young. Here we come. That's all I had to say. All y'all fools that want to go 8-8, I'm going to pray for you.
You, executive. What do you want to say, Professor, before we get started?
Huh?
You say you want to say something before I get started?
Huh?
Boy, you stupid as hell.
He co-signed everything.
He's stupid as hell.
Stupid fans who just want to win just for win's sake. What kind of dumb shit is that? And then have the audacity to wear your team colors and your favorite jersey to the damn draft in April, with your hands on top of your head, looking at your franchise like, why didn't we draft him? Because you won, idiot.
You know, I do kind of want to couple off of his statement, right? So here's the thing. Football fans are football fans are football fans. The unfortunate thing about football fans is that they don't know how to make the correlation. A lot of players aren't able to make the transition from the college game to the pro game, and neither are some fans, and they are not the same. See, if you're in college, being 5-6 is a lot different than being 6-5.
Mm-hmm.
6-5 teams go to bowls at the end of the season. 5-6 teams don't.
Right.
If you go to a bowl, you get some national coverage, it opens up the recruiting board to you a little bit more. When you're 5-6 and nobody knows that your ass exists, So in college, it benefits you to win as many games as possible, no matter the scenario. It benefits you. Unless, of course, you're just trying to duck Alabama in the college football playoffs.
Mm.
But
got you. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get the show started, man. We're going to start with the boxing world, the punch heard around the world.
Woo!
Man, Deontay Wilder put them hands on Luis Ortiz. Now,
no, he didn't. He put one hand on him. One hand.
Okay, so let me just give everybody the scenario, okay? This will
I know about. Somebody right now that's living in the world that would probably say they fought Deontay Wilder at Popeye's.
Man,
we, but, you know,
hey, yo.
Stop it. Let me get to the story. Let me get to the question. Deontay Wilder knocks out Luis Ortiz in the seventh round. Okay? Knockout in the seventh round. He was losing the fight. He was trailing in the card 59-55, 59-55, and 58-56 until he knocked out Ortiz. Round. Now Deontay Wilder's record is 42-0-1 with 41 knockouts. I just want to go ahead and read this quote from Deontay Wilder, then I'm going to ask the question to my panel. This is what he said last night, on Saturday night, and I quote, because a reporter asked him, how did he feel about knowing if he was trailing behind in the fight on the scorecards? And this is what he says, and I quote, I never worry about if I'm losing the fight or not. I'm blessed with something these other guys are not blessed with, and that's tremendous power. And I know when I hit guys, it hurts them. So when you have power like I have, you're not worried if you're winning rounds or not. I know that sooner or later, it's going to come. And when it does, bam, baby, good night, like I always say. Let me get to you first, Professor. And the question that I'm going to pose to you is, do you think at this point in time in Deontay Wilder's career, should he get the respect and does he deserve the praise of being the hardest hitting heavyweight champion we've ever seen?
Outside of Tyson and Foreman, I don't know how to rank the three of them motherfuckers collectively. I really don't. I saw Foreman hit Michael Moore with a punch. Oh, shit. I don't know. I saw Tyson hit a bunch of motherfuckers.
Francis Botha comes to my mind when I was thinking of Mike Tyson hitting somebody. When he hit Francis Botha, that was just ridiculous. I thought he killed him. But go ahead.
The Francois Botha punch was bad. But what he did to Tubbs, what he did to Frank Bruno.
Right.
Oh, Larry Holmes.
I hear you.
Banks.
Punched him
in the chest, open chest.
Got you.
I really don't, but I will say this.
Okay.
It looks like, honestly, I don't know if we have ever seen Deontay Wilder really ever land that punch flush the way that I think he would like to, if that makes sense.
Okay, no, that makes sense. I know what you're saying.
I'm talking about when he's got a guy dazed, and then out of nowhere, he just unleashes on that son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. I think any referee in a Deontay Wilder fight is subject to stopping the fight before fans at home would deem it necessary. Just because we're basing it on what we know fighters to be able to do. Deontay Wilder has otherworldly power. It's not normal at all. For anybody that may be listening that has known Gary for an extended period of time, if you've known me for an equal amount of time, I have always said this about Gary. Gary has retarded people's strength. Gary is strong like retarded people. You can laugh all damn day. You can laugh all day. I don't give a damn. You're strong like retarded people. Gary get excited to see you. Has he seen you in a while? You do that too. But Gary get excited if he ain't seen you in a while, and Gary will go to hug you and damn near break
and
your back.
You gonna feel like Kevin Hart. Hey, get off me.
I'm a grown ass little man. Get off me. So,
man, you need to masturbate.
You know, Gary is kind of like, I don't know if anybody remembers a book that they read in school of Mice and Men.
Well,
Gary is kind of like Lenny.
He is kind of like Lenny.
I want to take a bunny rabbit, George. I want to pet it and love it and hold it.
And by accident,
Lenny done fucked around and choked out the white girl in the barn. Now you got a problem.
He's stupid as hell.
So, but you know, like Deontay Wilder is, and it's, I'm going to tell you what I find interesting is the fact that Deontay Wilder has that kind of power and he knows it. Most human beings that are ridiculously strong, they don't really know that they are ridiculously strong. Like, if you haven't seen Gary in a year and then you give Gary a hug, Gary don't know he's getting ready to break your damn back.
Stop it.
He doesn't know it. He doesn't know he's about to break your fucking back. He has no idea. Your back is broken in three places. I had back surgery. I got to be careful. I got to put the stiff arm up when Gary comes in for a hug. I got to be, whoa, be careful.
You're stupid.
I had back surgery.
Man, I'm not listening to you. we got to get to executive, man. Why are you sitting there making fun of me? Like I said, lock him, talk with him, listeners. Don't pay him or executive no mind.
You better pay me some mind. Your vertebrae going to be fucked up if you don't. You're going to have fucked up vertebrae.
Let me get to executive messing with you. Executive, man, what do you think about Deontay Wilder's performance on Saturday night? And do you think he now deserves respect of the hardest hitting boxer in history?
I mean, it was all right.
His performance was horrible, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was all right. You want to know what I believe? I'm going to tell you what I believe. This is what I believe.
Okay.
I believe that the fight was fixed.
The fight? Say it one more time.
You heard me?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, executive. Say that one more time.
I said, good Lord, it's the third time.
Yeah, okay. I
believe the fight was fixed.
Fixed?
I believe that Deontay Wilder was told to extend the fight to a certain round before you actually fight and knock him out. In order to secure a certain amount of financial endeavors through third party situations. That's what I believe, because the fight shouldn't have lasted that long.
He wasn't really throwing punches.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The fight shouldn't have lasted that long. Okay, the whole world knows it. I think it was fixed.
Just go look at it.
It's kind of like, you know what that shit looked like? That shit looked like, when a grown ass father, who actually is a baller, take his son out in the backyard to play basketball, and instead of blocking every shot, he just magically shoots it over you. Like, come on.
You know why I agree with what Q said 100%. I'm gonna tell you why I agree with him. If you look at the right hand punches that Deontay Wilder threw in that fight, all of them were wide. Except the knockout punch. That's the only one that was straight and to the fucking point was the last one he drew. If you look at the way that Luis Ortiz holds up his guard to protect himself from that right hand, he was holding his arm, damn near his whole elbow up next to the left side of his head. Deontay Wilder was hitting glove and elbow all damn night long. And then all of a sudden, straight down the middle, like a perfectly constructed tunnel. Wow. I mean, when they showed the replay from the back and the sweat took off that sumbitch head and he fell like he had his feet in stirrups, like he was getting ready to give birth. That's how he fell down, like he was in labor. Shit. I mean, legs up in the air, knees spread apart, looking at the referee through his kneecaps like, goddamn, shit, what happened? Shit, what, is it time to push again? Push! Like, he was getting ready to get birth.
He did look crazy.
He was getting ready to get birth.
He was crazy. He did look crazy.
He fell in the same position he was standing in. That shit is insane.
I'm trying to tell you, it looked fixed. Like, hey, don't knock him out until after the fifth round. That's what it sounds like. So, and it sounds like, you know, it's okay for a boxer to agree to, because it's not like you're losing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know you can knock him out.
Right, so it's just like, all right, cool. I'll play backyard basketball with the school until it's time to dunk on them. That's what it's like.
I hope it's not a Wilder and Ortiz number three. I definitely hope there's not.
I don't want to
see that. No way in hell. Ain't nobody going to see that.
Right, exactly. Just
ain't nobody paying for that.
The only reason they were paying for it is to look at Deontay Wilder's ring entrance. I would pay for it just to see what his outfit looked like coming to the ring.
It better be a free fight on Fox.
You stupid. Ladies
like right after SmackDown on Friday night, Deontay Wilder free fight.
Oh, shit.
Hey, once again, ladies and gentlemen, 858-777-8433 is the number to call into Lockwood Talk Radio. If you're listening to the show, you want to comment, press 1 on your mobile device, and we will let you through. Let me get to these NFL games. Gentlemen, we got to get to
these games. And somebody comes up and snap these green beans, damn it.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
When I called in, I was cleaning the oxtails. Now I'm sitting here snapping peas. No.
Okay, got you. Well, first of all, before I get into the main games that I want to talk about, because there's three of them I want to get into, let me just go ahead and just recap the scores for yesterday's games. The Colts lose to the Texans 17-20. The Broncos lost to the Buffalo Bills 3-20.
Of course.
My New York Football Giants lost to the Bears 14-9.
Thank you,
19.
God.
Yeah. The Steelers barely got by the Bengals 16-10. The Dolphins lost to the Browns, got shellacked 24-41. The Buccaneers beat the Falcons. The Buccaneers beat the Falcons 35-22. The Panthers lost to the Saints 31-34. The Seahawks.
That was a good game.
Yeah, the Seahawks beat the Eagles 17-9. The Redskins finally woo 19-16 with their victory over the Detroit Lions. The Jets, the New York stinking Jets.
That's right.
Beat the Raiders 34-3. The Tennessee Titans
beat the shit out of them.
Man, the Titans beat the Jaguars 42-20. The Patriots beat the Cowboys 13-9. The 49ers embarrassed the Green Bay Packers last night 37-8. Now, this is what I'm going to do. These are the games I want to go to. I'm just going to start with this one first, okay? I'm going to start with Javon's favorite team, which is the Steelers and the Bengals. We're going to start with that game. Now, what I wanted to put out, let me start with that one first. Mason Rudolph was 8-for-11, 85 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 1 interception. His ass got benched, okay, to Devin Hodges, who threw for 5. He was 5-for-11, 4-11. 118 yards, the 1 touchdown, and no picks. Now, the top receiver in that game was James Washington with 3 receptions and 98 yards with a pass, his longest run, which was 79 yards.
73 yards.
One touchdown. 79 and 1 touchdown. Now, on the ground, Benny Snell did have 21 carries for 98 yards, and he averaged 4.7 yards a carry. Now, this is why I wanted to bring this game up, because everybody now I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers at the beginning of the season that I thought that they were going to win the division and go to the playoffs. I still don't think that. I don't give a damn who they beat right now by the skin of their ass. But now there's a lot of whispers going on in the sports world, especially around the NFL world, that the Steelers have a legitimate shot to go to the playoffs. I don't think that shit is true, but at the end of the day, who am I to say? But I got to ask my partners what they think as far as the Steelers' chances of actually going to the playoffs. I'm going to start with you first, Executive. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they beat the damn Bengals, okay? I mean, it is what it is. But do you think they have a legitimate shot to actually go to the playoffs?
No. Next question.
I hate you, man. I swear to God, I hate your ass.
What? I answered it. I saved time. I moved on.
Professor,
I paused. I took a breath. I stopped doing what I was doing. I answered your question, and I'm back to snapping green beans.
Back to the green beans, my man. Professor, well, let me ask you, man. You think they got a legitimate shot?
Grandma.
Right now to
no.
Next question.
No, I don't.
Next game.
No, I don't. You know, I'm gonna tell you why that story gets dropped. Tell you why stories like that get dropped.
Okay.
Because the Pittsburgh Steelers have such a huge fan base, you can't afford for those motherfuckers not to watch on Sunday. You understand? So you have to give their fans some glimmer of hope to get them to tune the fuck in on their local television stations, so you can keep them damn ratings up. Because if they don't watch, your ratings plummet. The Steelers fan base is that fucking big. I don't like it, but it is what it is. But no, they ain't going to the fucking playoffs. No chance in hell.
You know what was funny to me, though, son? And one of the reasons why I was laughing at this game, they won. Okay. They barely won. Yeah, like I said before, it's all said. They beat the damn Bengals. But the problem, the funny thing about it is that, this whole entire fiasco with this Myles Garrett situation and the helmet and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then you come back the next following week where everybody's excusing you for what you've done and your part in the whole situation, and you stuck up the joint and you got your ass benched. That's what the hell you did. That's what was funny to me. That's what the hell you did. So,
wait, pause. Okay, I didn't know I had to make this clear to people, but let me go ahead and clear it up. He was benched in order to avoid him starting against the Browns next week.
Oh, is that what that was?
He wasn't benched, so he was taking us a joint. He was benched so that they have a predetermined reason. Right. They have a predetermined reason to start Hodges on Sunday and avoid all of the controversy that will come with Rudolph starting and Garrett not playing.
Okay, I got you, the beginning of the game that I saw, he didn't look too hot to me. But I feel you.
What were his numbers for the game?
His numbers for the game, I'm gonna tell you again. So absolutely, they were eight. He was 8 for 16 for 85 yards with no touchdowns and a pick.
So he was at 50% pass completion percentage.
Pretty much.
One interception, which was a tip pass. Under normal circumstances, we wouldn't even be interested in trying to blame that on the quarterback. But I guess because of the situation, we're looking at like Mason Rudolph. Here's the thing, though: Mason Rudolph really isn't that good. They really should have kept the other guy that they had without letting that guy go. But that ain't what they did. I mean, hey, leave it to the Rooney's, I suppose. However, I will say this: I don't think Pittsburgh can beat Cleveland. I do not. I don't think that they can beat the goddamn Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I said it. You don't like it, build a bridge and get over it.
But
I'm going to tell you why. The number one weapon Pittsburgh has on that front seven is T.J. Watt. You know how you neutralize T.J. Watt? And John will understand this as a Pittsburgh Steelers aficionado. Hopefully John's listening wherever you are. Salute to you, sir. T.J. Watt is weak against the run. He doesn't possess the size to compete against offensive linemen on the edge without getting lost in the wash. And when you got Nick Chubb and Hunt coming around that corner off tackle with a pulling guard, I know Cleveland's offensive line ain't that good. They're good enough to move T.J. Watt's lighting the ass up out the way. They can move T.J. Watt. They can move him. They can move him. Now, they got Minka Fitzpatrick in the secondary. It's a huge help to them. Minka Fitzpatrick, however, is only one man. Okay, we've seen this story in Pittsburgh before. When you wanted to beat the Steelers, all you had to do was throw the damn ball. Okay, right. Remember that shit? They made one change to the secondary. They added Troy Polamalu. All of a sudden, they were like the number one team in the league against the pass. Get the fuck out of here. He's one person, okay? He's not Ronnie Lott. He's not Steve Atwater. He's one motherfucker.
Right.
And it's not that Minka Fitzpatrick Fitzpatrick can't play, he absolutely can play his ass off. But he is one motherfucker playing safety. He's going to play one side or the other. If you got Jarvis Landry and Odell, you don't have corners that can cover either of them motherfuckers. Minka Fitzpatrick can't help out on both sides of the damn line. He can't help out on both sides of the defense.
Got you.
Throw to the side that his ass ain't existing at. Simple. But, you know, that's just my take on it.
Got you. We're going to go ahead and move along, gentlemen, to the next game that I wanted to touch on. That would be the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots. This game last night,
oh,
man,
boom,
it was a
boom,
lot
boom,
of
boom,
boom, is all one to take, boy. It is all one to take.
Can't wait to hear what the third game is.
Now,
gotta be quicker than that.
Jerry Jones was very, very upset. And I can give two fucks. Yeah, less. Good for his ass. But he was upset.
Go
about
pay for another
problem.
You can get over it.
So, now, this is what Jerry said pretty much yesterday, and I quote about the New England game. He says, with the makeup of this team, I shouldn't be this frustrated. End quote. Des Bryant has something to say on Twitter about what he saw yesterday.
I know he did. It looks familiar, doesn't it?
He says, what I see from the game so far, Dallas has the better players, but New England has the better coaches and game plan. End quote. Now, since this is Professor's favorite team. He don't want to admit it, but I'm gonna put it out there anyway.
Fuck out of
here. He's a Patriots fan. Hey man, whatever. But
I don't give a fuck.
Hey,
shit. If that's what
let
it is,
ask.
I'm a fan of a winning team.
Let me
go
ask
ahead.
With all the elements yesterday, with the rain and the wind and all that, which everybody was like, "Oh, Tom Brady, man, with the elements." I mean, and Dak Prescott didn't play well because you know they were up in the cold and they're not used to the cold and all that other type of shit. Because at the end of the day, it's still football. At the end of the day, I don't want to hear that shit. It's still football. But before I ask you this question, I have to say this, and I know you're going to answer what I'm about to say. You're going to rebuttal it, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know, it's really funny to me that when Tom Brady, yes, I'm going to put on my hater helmet on right now. When Tom Brady, back in the day, I remember a long time ago, and not so much that much long ago, Tom Brady could make anybody a superstar. That's all I've been hearing for years. You know, he can make nobody's to somebody's. He can do whatever with nobody's. If nobody knows who these guys are. Nobody knew who Troy Brown was. Nobody knew who, at the time, whoever the hell was on the
team. Deion Branch.
Deion Branch. Right. All those guys. And he won Super Bowls. Everybody praised his ass for it. But now, everybody's singing a different tune. Now, everybody's saying, well, who does Tom Brady have? He ain't got nobody to throw to. But now, since he's now whooping ass and beating teams by 20 points, 21 points, 30 points, now it's, oh, he doesn't have the help that he used to have, and blah, blah, blah. So which one is it? Or could it just be that Tom Brady, at 42 years of age, just declined? It's okay to decline. That's what we do. Father Tom is undefeated. Maybe he's just not that good anymore. He's still good, but he's just not that great, that elite player anymore. And everybody has their Tom. But when it comes to this dude, oh, now he doesn't have the help. I'm not understanding. But, Professor, your thoughts about yesterday's game?
Well, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say that. But
what?
I don't know. To say it again, because
okay.
You can't hit me.
Okay.
I don't know that I've heard anybody say that he doesn't have any help. Now, in the game yesterday, you got wind and freezing rain. Yeah, that shit's definitely going to play a factor. That's why Dallas's offense seemed to move a whole lot better when they tried to run the ball as opposed to when they tried to pass the ball.
They should have continued to run the ball. Right, but okay.
They should have. But Amari Cooper.
Right.
Oh, what did you say? Because Amari Cooper didn't quite catch what you said. Oh, I'm sorry. So happens is, now, he got two starters that didn't play offensively yesterday. Both of them happened to be wide receivers. Okay? Mohamed Sanu, Chris Hogan. Neither of them played. Now, when the guys that you got coming in to play in their stead are both rookies, yeah, you're going to have some miscommunications. They're not practicing with Tom Brady on a regular basis. They're not in the first-team rotations in practice. They're not understanding the timing. So the shit is off a little bit. You combine that with the goddamn weather, yeah, you're gonna have a lackluster performance. That's what I think that is. Now, yeah, Father Time is undefeated. That goes without saying. The game yesterday was just a nasty-ass, horrible fucking game. It was just an ugly-ass game. Shit was ugly. It was an ugly win. But nobody questions the Steelers when they win ugly. A win is a win.
No, I got you. I mean, I hear you. I hear
so
you.
Then put your hated helmet back on the damn shelf.
Hey man, look man, I got it on. But you know, Professor, I got to say this though. You know, before I get to executive, yeah, it was an ugly game yesterday, no doubt. Like I said,
for
me, I can say, you know, okay. I mean, the elements, right? Okay, but what I'm saying is that, you know, elements are part of the game. I'm not saying that it doesn't play a factor, but I'm just not going to use that as the reason why, you know. Because had it been anybody else, we didn't have the conversation. But because it's
the
New England Patriots.
I didn't use that as the end-all, be-all. No, I
can't.
I didn't use that as the end-all, be-all.
Oh, no, I understand you did.
I didn't use that as the end-all, be-all. Yeah,
okay.
But I don't know anybody that's going to do that. Even the diehard Patriots fans, they're going to tell you that Chris Hogan and Mohamed Sanu didn't play. That absolutely affected the way that offense was able to move or not able to move the ball in their case yesterday. That absolutely affected.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, granted, Dallas, it ain't like Dallas got the weakest defense in the damn league. Them boys
no,
play
they
their ass off.
No, they don't. But what I was about to say is that, you know.
The defense looked good yesterday.
No, they did. But what I was about to say was, even though it was an ugly game yesterday, but let's not forget, in a game the week before that, they played the Buffalo Bills, and they barely won that game, too. There was no element. So again, I'm going to say it again. And I'm not going to say that you didn't hear it, but I hear it all the time, especially when I look at these commentary shows. Man, everybody and their mother, it's not fair to Tom Brady. It's not fair to him because he doesn't have help. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just sitting here like, okay, you know what? I'm not. Because like I said, it's long ago I've heard people say, huh?
Who said that?
That'd be one of Stephen A. Smith. That'd be one of Skip Bayless.
Well, we've already determined
that
in the last couple of weeks that Stephen A. don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying. But like I said, it's just. But even on social media, when I go to Instagram, when I go to Twitter, a lot of people say the same thing. Especially Patriots fans. I mean, I get it. That's your squad. But like I said, man, at the end of the day, man, I'm just looking at it to where. And I'm gonna say this before I get to this call. Because we got a call on the line. I'm going to say this real quick, and then I'm going to get to you, executive. The way that is going right now, I don't know if the Patriots, man, they make the AFC Championship, but I don't know about Super Bowl. I don't know. And that's really being objective.
Yeah, the AFC Championship game is probably going to go through Baltimore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I really don't know. But let me get to this caller real quick. Caller from 646 every call. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Come on now. Bryce calling from Brooklyn. You know what it is.
Hey, man. What's going on, Bryce? What's going on? What's good, family? How you doing?
Big G. What's the good word, man? What's the good word,
man,
fellas?
Shit, man. We're sitting here talking about what happened yesterday, man, with this Patriots game, Patriots and Cowboys game, man. What's your thoughts about it?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, as much as it means sickens me to say it, but you know, the Patriots are the Patriots. You know, the offense isn't that great this year, hasn't been that great, but they play good complementary football. They know how to win. They're the best coach team in the, you know, in the NFL. And it's 31 coaches and Belichick in the world all by himself. I mean, come on. Jason Garrett, please. Jason Garrett doesn't have the acumen to win a game like that against Bill Belichick. He's got the special teams playing at a high level. He's got the defense. He's got the offense that isn't that good, but they're playing complimentary enough, and they still got a Hall of Fame quarterback. Hall of Famers, one thing we know about Hall of Fame players is that when the moment's needed, you put them in the right position, and the moment's needed, they'll make a play. And regardless if it's now, if it's in 2 weeks, if you're going to beat Tom Brady, you better get a big lead on that team and hold on, because he's got Hall of Fame in his gene, and I never count him out. I've learned the hard way as a Steeler fan. So, but the Cowboys, I don't believe in them. They've got talent, but they're so deficient at the coaching that when it comes time for them to have to play someone that's elite, when it's on the line, they'll do what they always do, which is fold.
Cowboys don't believe in themselves.
Gotcha. I'm surprised
they don't.
He's got a goddamn job. I really
I don't think he will have, I don't think he will have that job at the end of this season.
Yeah, and they're also deficient at the GM too. I mean, anytime with Jerry, like, he can get rid of Jason, but that's the thing. You are Jason. Like, and see, he doesn't have the self-awareness to even understand, or maybe he does, just too arrogant. Like, Jason Garrett is here because of you. You should have fired him years ago when he went 8-8 three times in a row and lost to every division foe. Like, in the last game of the season and missed the playoffs. But see, that's your boy. So this is what you want, so this is what you get. He's a monster of his making. So he can even fire him. What's the next coach going to be? Lincoln Riley? Maybe he'll be good, maybe not. I mean, that's a crapshoot. You know, Sean Payton come back. Why would Sean Payton want to play for Jerry Jones, coach for Jerry Jones? I mean, he's in Louisiana. He's got a good situation there. When Drew Brees retires, he'll be able to find his own success to run that show. Why would you want to go? What top-notch coach wants to really go and be under Jerry Jones?
But you know what? You have to assume that those coaches would be looking at it like being under Jerry Jones. And there are coaches that are going to look at it that way, and then there are those coaches that will say, hey, I get to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And there's some nut out there somewhere that will take that job. The problem is that I think that the best coaches that are potentially available, they're not going to want Jerry to have his hand involved in the day-to-day operation of that team, and Jerry doesn't want to let go of those reins. And the biggest problem that they have in Dallas is I said this a couple of years ago about the Oakland Raiders. Don't get mad at me, Oakland Raiders fans, but honestly, I meant what I said. One of the best things that could have happened to the fans in Oakland and to that franchise is for that old man, it's for the owner to pass away. But old don't know when to get the fuck out of the way.
Gotcha.
That's why
Professor
Tommy Hearns couldn't leave boxing in a timely fashion. That's why
Mara needed to get into a car accident.
You stupid as hell. Professor, hold that thought, man. Let me get to executive, man.
Mara needs to get in a car accident. I'm not saying he needs to die, but somebody needs to be his proctor.
Executive, man, I want to get your thoughts about the Patriots and Cowboys game yesterday, man. Tom Brady, man, it's about that time. Go ahead.
Wait, you want to get my thoughts on what? On who?
The Cowboys and the Patriots game yesterday.
Oh, we still talking about them? Okay.
I didn't get to you. I'm trying to be.
I appreciate it. I'm going to give God my turn so we can move on to the next question. What are we doing?
Swear to God, boy, you are a piece of damn work.
The hell I'm gonna spend any more of my damn time on some damn cowboy and some patriot? Ain't even one of them winning the Super Bowl in February, so I ain't worried about that.
I got you.
What I said. Ain't neither one of them. Winning the Super Bowl in
I hope that comes true, but I mean, until someone beat them, I ain't counting them out. I just can't do it.
I'm sorry. Are they undefeated? No, they're not. So they've already been beaten. Oh, that's right. That's right. We got Brightside. Bryce can watch the television with Brightside.
No, my dude. Meaning when it counts in the playoffs, until someone beats them, that's when it matters.
Who did New England lose to? That was Baltimore, wasn't it?
That was Baltimore.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Baltimore, the same.
When it matters, like when Baltimore may have to play them again and play that coach again, when it matters, let me call. Talk to me when someone beats them then.
Much as
I hate them, dude, when it matters.
40-25. It was 40-25 when Baltimore played.
Mm-hmm.
That same team beat New England. This is looking like an any given Sunday season. This is what it's looking like.
Well, that being said, when it matters in the playoffs, I need to see someone beat them first. Then all bets are up.
let me move on to this last game real quick, and then I'm going to ask you this because I wanted to go over also to this playoff picture right there, but I'm going to save that for last. But I want to get to this last game, and then we're going to get to the playoff picture. Last night's debacle, man. The Packers and the 49ers, man. Yo, we got, I'm going to start with executive first, man. This game yesterday, the 49ers, man, looked like a mixture of the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, the 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks, the 86 Giants, the 2007. I mean, these dudes made Aaron Rodgers look uncomfortable yesterday. They beat the brakes off of them yesterday, man. They ran the ball down their throat. They did what they wanted to do. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't lose them the game. He actually managed the game pretty well. Aaron Rodgers, man, had only 104 yards, man, 20 for 33 attempts, averaging only 3.2 yards a pop with one TD. I'm going to get to you first, executive, man. Yo, my question is very simple, man. Are the 49ers for real, or are they some imposters?
At this point of the season, that's a question.
Okay. At this point of the season, it's questionable. You said it's questionable at this point of the season.
Like, no, as I said, at this point in the season, that's the question.
Have
you seen these motherfuckers all year?
Right, I got you. Wait a minute. Hold on. I apologize. I was talking to executive.
I'm going to ignore the entire question, and I'm going to answer you with this.
Okay.
First of all, all hail Robert Salah. Don't he just sound like a football god? Oh, hell, Rama Salah. Look. First of all, when you have the future head coach of the New York Football Giants as your defensive coordinator, I expect to see that type of defense. Let me say that shit again so I can put it in the atmosphere and speed into
it. Are you talking about Rama Salah? That's what you're talking about, Rama Salah?
That's what I'm saying, Rama Salah. Oh, hell, Rama Salah. Sound like a football god. You think what I'm saying? When you have the future head coach in the New York Football Giants as your little defensive coordinator, okay, I expect that type of defense. Okay, I expect you to shut down Aaron Rodgers like that. That's number one. Number two, the 49ers are the truth. Jimmy Garoppolo, not so much. However, it don't matter. You've seen it, Philadelphia Eagles. All you need is an average quarterback, Philadelphia Eagles, in order to get you to a Super Bowl, Philadelphia Eagles. All you got to do is not fuck up. That's it. That's all you got to do. Not fuck up. Just don't fuck up. Hey, Jimmy. I feel like Chris Rock on defense. Hey, Jimmy. We're going to get you the ball back. Don't fuck up. That's what it's saying. Just don't fuck up. That's what it seems like. So that's number two. And then number three, anytime you play a revenge game, and I don't care if it's the game of life, the game in business, game in sex, or the game of football, anytime you're out for revenge, you're playing emotion. And for those of you that don't know, when Aaron Rodgers was a draft candidate. San Francisco 49ers had the number one pick and needed a quarterback. They selected Alex Smith. Every time Aaron Rodgers plays San Francisco, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, just playing for a type of revenge. Sometimes this is the result of that. He wasn't playing like himself. He was mad, and as they fell behind, he was playing angry. Take that emotion out your game and step up.
Gotcha.
That's it. I guess
Let me go to Professor real quick, and then I'm going to go to Bryce. Professor, are they pretenders or are they for real? The 49ers.
Okay, I'm going to say this shit again. At this point in the season, that's the question you have?
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, that's the question I ask.
No, you cannot have that question. No, you don't have that question. No, you don't.
Why can't I?
Because it just doesn't make sense. You know better than that.
Wow.
Question doesn't make sense. Look at these motherfuckers.
Okay. Okay. I got you. I mean, they're 10-1, week 11. And I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I just don't understand how I can't ask the question, because there's a lot of teams that people talk about that, you know, are they pretenders or are they contenders? And
they're not 10-1.
They're not at 10-1. Ain't nobody asking that about New England.
Okay.
So shouldn't nobody be asking that about San Francisco?
Yo, Gary, I love you. But damn it to hell. Boy, look at these sons of bitches. Look at them.
That's it.
Hell yeah, they for real. What the hell you mean? Are they for real?
They 10-1. They 10-1 when they start tight end out. They 10-1 when they start receiving out.
Shit. What my goddamn bill at? Right here, Daddy. Are they for real? Look at them. Green Bay couldn't do shit. The offensive line might as well not have even showed up. Now, I agree with Quincy 100%. Running backs look good. Receivers look good. Offensive line looks good. Tight end, stellar. Defense, solid
very
at stellar. Every fucking position.
Tight end, very
stellar. The weakest area of the damn team is Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is the 2019 Trent Dilfer. That is what the fuck he is.
No, I wouldn't go that far. Okay, he may not be great, but I'm not going to disrespect him.
I definitely would.
I'm not going to disrespect
him.
Fuck
that. I am going to disrespect him. Fuck Jimmy Garoppolo. We have not seen Jimmy Garoppolo put the San Francisco 49ers on his back and win not one goddamn game. We didn't see Trent Dilfer do it. He is the 2019 version of Trent Dilfer. I said it. What are we going to do about it?
Nah, I'm not gonna go that far. Like I said, he ain't great.
He
right?
Is
I'm not
even so angry. So angry.
Damn it, Dilfer. No. And I'm gonna tell you why I'm asking. I'm gonna tell you why I'm saying it like this.
Okay.
Because when Jimmy Garoppolo got ready to cut his ass to San Francisco, all I heard about was, "Ooh, Jimmy Garoppolo this. Ooh, Jimmy Garoppolo that." Motherfuckers act like Jimmy Garoppolo was gonna go to San Francisco and break Peyton Manning's records and shit across it. No. He's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay.
Can you imagine Sam and inducted first ballot inductee into the Hall of Fame, Jimmy Garoppolo? It doesn't even sound good.
Okay, Professor, let me just say this to you, okay? I'm not saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is the Hall of Fame. I'm not even saying Jimmy Garoppolo is that dude. What I'm saying is that, first of all, this is, what, his third year? You got to give him time to, you know, to get into his own. And we already right now just casting this dude like he's some trash. And at the end of the day, and I'm not saying, like I said, he's all world. I don't believe that. But what I do believe is at the end of the day right now, I give him another year, maybe two. And if he doesn't progress, then I give you the point. But to call him,
I get it. I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Because when Trent Dilfer was in Baltimore, Trent Dilfer was never asked to win any game. He had the number one defense in the fucking league. It wasn't a requirement. Trent Dilfer had a fucking running game. Trent Dilfer had a Pro Bowl, future Hall of Fame tight end. Trent Dilfer winning the game on his own was not a requirement. And from what everybody knows of Trent Dilfer, he wouldn't have been able to pull that shit off if they asked him to do that any damn way. That's why
Is Nick Foles a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Of course not.
No.
Okay. So when I hear some shit like, I'm going to give him one more year, two more years to see if he does something. What is he going to do? If he wins the Super Bowl,
I can accept Gary's point. I'm going to tell you why I accept Gary's point. Because dudes can potentially turn around and do
things differently
in the NFL. However, I'm going to tell you why I accept Gary making that point as easily as I do. Because Gary is also the same dude that wanted to give Trent Richardson chance after chance after chance. And I kept telling Gary, Trent Richardson is a fucking bum. And
okay,
Gary would not let that dumb bitch die.
Hey, what did I say?
Man,
he said the same shit about
Trent Richardson.
But Professor, what did I say?
Yes.
I said,
yes.
You got it. And I didn't dispute you, and I didn't fight you after. I said, you know what? I can't correct you.
Until that motherfucker left for you to say, well, you got that one. Like, no,
I'm not waiting
for Jimmy Garoppolo retired.
Hey, Professor, he said the same shit about Rashad Jennings, and he said the same shit about.
Oh, no, hey, don't you do that, our executive. I hate him. I'm not doing it. Don't you do that.
Rashad Jennings.
He could not stand that motherfucker.
You know what, man? Exactly. Professor knows you lying. Professor knows that's a lie.
He couldn't stand that motherfucker.
Hilarious.
The Giants would play, and Greg would call my phone like, yo, get this motherfucker out of there, please. I'd be like,
Yo, G, don't get disinvited from the cookout caping for Rashad Jennings.
Oh, God. Oh my God.
Y'all remember that stupid ass walk through the window dance shit he
knew
when
he first. Man, what? Man, I wanted him to walk his ass about the damn stadium. That's what I wanted him to do. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on walking.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just go. Keep on walking. I hated that dude. I don't know why we died.
Yeah, we'll call my phone. Like, yo, man, I don't know why the fuck they keep putting this motherfucker in the game, son. Like, what are you talking about? God damn it, Rashad Jennings. God damn it. Get his ass out of there.
The worst running back.
Gary hated that motherfucker, man. He hated that motherfucker.
Yeah, I'd have took Trent Richardson and his sister before I took Rashad.
Hey, you know what? Hey, while we bullshit, I'm going to tell you what the Giants – I'm going to tell you what the Giants should have did when they had Rashad Jennings. They should have cut Rashad Jennings and called Ray Rice.
I would have taken
him,
too.
That wouldn't happen to because of who the owner is.
Yeah, that actually would work. Ray Rice, much better running back.
Yeah.
Hell
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Potential Hall of Famer had he not punched his fiance in the mouth in the elevator.
Hey, look. Hey, you know, sometimes, you know. You know, might have been able to kickstart his career.
He was just rebooting the TV. That's all. He had to reboot her ass. Just reboot.
Hey, real quick, man, gentlemen, we got 2.5 more minutes. Let me give the last minute to Bryce, man. Bryce, San Francisco 49ers, man, they for real or they pretenders? Yes, sir.
Man, I'm not even going to need a lot of time. I'm not going to go as far as the professor of comparing Garoppolo to Trent Dilfer. But for most of those points, and even to the fact that Garoppolo is the weak link, I'm in agreement. I mean, let's see a good team get a lead, and let's see if he can bring him back because I haven't seen it yet. So I think they're for real. I mean, the record is for real. Like the professor said, the record is for real. So I got to say they're for real, but we'll see. We'll see what Jimmy G can do when he really got to win a game.
Their problem.
Or two games.
His problem is going to be Seattle. Period.
I'm gonna say this right now. Y'all are gonna be watching a game in the near future, and the game is gonna be on the line, and the San Francisco Niners is gonna be up by one field goal, and the defense gonna stop the other team. They get the ball back, and they go look at Jimmy. Don't fuck up. I'm telling you, they gonna zoom in on somebody's face. I don't know who face it's gonna be. They gonna look at Jimmy before he run out there and bop his head like he a young Brady. Don't fuck up. I'm telling you, watch that shit. All y'all gonna be laughing at your respective televisions.
Bro, this honestly, this might be one of them years where all of the top teams end up trying to knock each other out early on in the playoffs. Because I'm telling you, Jimmy Garoppolo's biggest problem is going to be Seattle. It's going to be Russell Wilson. It's going to be Russell Wilson.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't get to the playoff picture, but you know what? We're going to save that for Thursday. We got to get up out of here. But thank my brother, man, Professor X Factor, my other brother, man, Executive Chef Drew Draper, and our other brother, man, from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? My man, Bryce, man, calling in the show as always. And once again, make sure you tune in and check us out on Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. is always see you later. Peace.
Reinstate prices, tickets to the cookout.